Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
HBO is premiering a new documentary tonight about the meth crisis in America, not to be confused with the opioid crisis. The film focuses on meth addicts in rural Arkansas, their families devastated by the drug. It's called Meth Storm, and joining us from New York is filmmaker Brent Renaud. Welcome.
Thank you.
And from Arkansas, his brother Craig. Craig, welcome to you as well.
Thank you.
And I have to say right at the top, this was a very difficult film to watch right from the beginning, but also a very important topic. Why did the two of you decide to focus on this topic at this time?
Like a lot of our films, the gestation can go back as far as a decade. And something like a decade ago, we had embedded ourselves in a burn unit near Memphis, Tennessee. And it became obvious to us very quickly that most of the patients on the burn unit were kids. And they were kids with burns on their faces and on their hands and on their arms and on their torsos. And most of their parents had the same explanation that they were burning trash in the yard, which is pretty common in this part of Arkansas. And the kids threw gasoline or lighter fluid onto the fire, and it kind of blew up in their face. And, you know, this seems plausible to me, but the doctor said, no, actually, it's most of these kids are the victims of meth lab explosions. And we thought that was really interesting. And it wasn't long after that that the legislatures around the South started passing laws so that Sudafed, one of the ingredients needed in meth labs, was made so that you had to have an ID and you had to buy it over the counter, and you could only buy a couple of packs per month, not enough to run a meth lab. That, and along with some police operations, it pretty much shut down the American meth industry as we knew it up to that point. And for a while, things seemed kind of positive. But not long after that, a friend of mine who was a police officer in Arkansas, he started telling us that he was now arresting people. Former meth cooks were now dealers for the cartels. And one family in particular, with the matriarch Veronica, who you see in the film, he introduced us to her, and they had been arrested a lot. And he introduced us, and we started spending some time with them and really getting to know them.
Right.
And we thought, you know, this is pretty interesting. We in a sense, we know the cops and we know the robbers, and we have access to both of them. And there's something really interesting there.
And while the meth used to be cooked up in these meth labs, you're saying now a lot of it is coming in from Mexico. And the towns that you focus on in this documentary are places in Arkansas that I'd never even heard of. These are tiny little towns where everybody's on drugs.
Yeah, you know, I think the film is as much about poverty in the state as it is about meth addiction. And you have this perfect storm of these large amounts of methamphetamine coming in at the same time that you have a loss of job opportunities and not a lot of things going on in these communities. You know, and you hear the DEA in the film talk about, you know, back in the days of meth labs, they would be surprised if they saw, you know, a pound at a time, and now they're seeing 40 to 50 pound shipments a week coming into Arkansas. And so the problem has gotten very overwhelming in these communities.
Well, you mentioned that it is about the economy. I want to play a clip from the film. This is the drug enforcement agent, Johnny Sal. He's also mayor of the town. And he says that the economy of the area does not offer a lot of alternatives to dealing meth.
Our economy went down after Walmart came to Clinton. This building just recently collapsed like this a couple of years ago. And it was one of our oldest buildings still left. This was a grocery store here. We had a gas station there. There was a furniture factory here in town.
Now, I don't want to pick on Walmart here, but did that really play a role in the meth crisis? That came in and a lot of stores went out of business, people lost their jobs.
Well, you know, it's one of the factors. There's really been a perfect storm of things that have happened in this area and made it difficult to get jobs. And what we're looking at now is a situation in which the kids in this film, you hear the sheriff say, I don't think they had a choice to do anything but get involved with the drug trade. We've got kids who are now becoming teenagers. They've never known anyone who's had a job, never known anyone who's gone to college. What do we expect of these kids when we're not giving them any of their opportunities? And it's kind of interesting that their mother, Veronica, she's kind of from the previous generation, and she can kind of give us perspective on that.
Let's listen to a little bit of Veronica. You know, we see her shooting up. We see her with her kids doing drugs. Here she is talking about why she can't give up meth.
You're hurting so bad, you go get some dope and do a bump, and you don't hurt no more. There is an endless supply of addicts that'll sell it. And there's more addicts every day.
One of the things that I was wondering as I was watching this is, why can't people like Veronica and her family members and others stop when they realize how bad it is for them?
Well, I think Teddy in the film, her son, is a perfect example of this. You know, we watched Teddy come out of jail 3 different times through the course of making this film. You know, and even after doing 90-day treatment programs, coming out very sincerely wanting to stop, you know, but we would watch him go back to these communities where everybody that he knows in that community is either using or dealing. You watch him go through sincere attempts to get a job, to try to get his life back together for his kids. And then slowly the pressures of that environment, you know, family members on it and everybody else on it, and not being able to get a consistent job. And I think eventually he just gives in. And I think that's indicative of the problem for a lot of people that just can't get off the drug.
It's the forgotten America. And we've seen it in other places like inner city Chicago as well, where there really are very few job opportunities. The educational opportunities are not very good. Your role models are involved in the drug industry, and you get a record at a very young age. And once you've got that record, it dogs you for life.
You mentioned Teddy. I want to take a listen here to one more clip from the film. This is Teddy talking about what family life is like.
Not long ago, I was sitting, you know, in the same room shooting dope with my mom, to where most other families are probably sitting there talking, watching a movie. We're all sitting there, you know, talking about, oh, mine's, you know, how thick the shot of dope is. And I look back now, that's not normal. That's not normal. You know, I'm starting to see a lot of things in my life was not normal.
How much of a connection do you think there is between the meth crisis that you portray in this film and the opioid crisis that we're hearing about all across the country?
Well, I think there's definitely a connection in terms of the way the United States is being flooded with these drugs. You know, we watched the DEA for 2 years in Arkansas really struggling with keeping up with the mass amounts that are coming in. And you do these massive operations to take down one network, and they're immediately replaced by other people who are willing to step up and deal the drugs. And so I think that's a big problem that you're having with the opioid crisis and the methamphetamine crisis.
You know, another interesting point that you make in this film, we hear about the cartels coming in, and when somebody gets caught from the cartel, they're replaced within a few days in rural Arkansas?
Certainly, yeah. And, you know, a lot of this is mid-level dealers who live in the state who are getting these larger quantities from the cartels that are bringing it in. And so, especially at the mid-level dealers, there's a very plentiful supply of people willing to step up because of the money that can be made in an economy where there's not a lot of other opportunities.
You know, most of the meth dealers are former meth cooks, and it's no longer profitable to cook methamphetamine in the United States for what it costs them to get the materials that they need, even if they can get the materials to cook meth. The Mexican cartels can send in a much cheaper product than that and much more pure and much more addictive. And so most of these cooks have now gone, and they work for the cartels. And a lot of the distribution networks that were there in place previously have now been kind of co-opted by the larger cartels.
So what do you think will end this cycle?
I think education and jobs in these failing economies could help quite a bit in terms of giving an incentive to do something different. You know, you hear Daniel, Veronica's son, in the film talk about if he had a regular job, he would stop. You know, and so I think that could help quite a bit.
You know, our goal, there's so much you know, in the larger culture around us in social media, so much judgment and so much analysis and so much throwing dirt on everyone. And I think that our work is really a reaction against that. We're trying to present stories from the subject's point of view, very experiential stories, so that when people start having opinions about police officers or low-level drug addicts or even rural people in general, we're hoping to give a little bit of context to those discussions.
Did anything give you hope in the making of this film?
Yeah, I think there always has to be hope. You know, I think the people that are approaching their jobs, whether it's the law enforcement in these communities, especially, you know, with the local law enforcement here, their families are being affected. And so this isn't just them going out and enforcing the drug laws. This is them trying to stop the erosion of their communities through drug abuse. And so that certainly gave me a lot of hope to see how sincerely that they are approaching that problem and how sympathetically they're approaching it. You know, you can see the way that they interact with the people they're arresting. You know, they treat them like their neighbors because often that's what they are. You know, Johnny talks in the film that half the people he's arresting are either people that he grew up with or the kids of people he grew up with. So, you know, I think that gives me hope that they're approaching this from the community level and trying to help save their communities from this problem.
Well, it is a very powerful documentary. Filmmakers Brent and Craig Renaud. The film is called Meth Storm. It premieres tonight on HBO. Thanks to both of you for joining us.
You bet.
Thank you.